Get your Bible and go with me to the book of John, Gospel of John, and we're going to be in the Gospel of John for the most part tonight. And I believe that the Lord wanted to minister a word on the person of the Holy Spirit. Oftentimes we talk about the Holy Spirit, and we talk about that Jesus has sent the Holy Spirit, and we talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the operations of the Holy Spirit. But tonight I believe that God wants to draw out something about the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, we as Christians should know who our God is. We should know about the Father. The Father describes himself all throughout the Old Testament through the word of the prophets and describes his character and describes his nature, what pleases him and what displeases him, gives us clear-cut direction through his word. Even in the book of Hebrews, we found out that in times past, God spoke to our forefathers by the word of the prophets. There in Hebrews chapter 1, if you remember that a couple years back when we were in Hebrews chapter 1. And so then we find out that in these last days, he's spoken to us by his son, Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ comes and declares to us who the Father is. Remember when Philip asked us, Jesus, just show us the Father and that'll be enough for us. What did Jesus say? He says, Philip, haven't I been with you for so long that you still don't know me? I mean, Philip, come on, right here. He who has seen me has seen the Father, right? And so Jesus comes and declares to us the Father. So here we have the Father. He sends prophets to speak. He sends his son Jesus, comes in the form of his son. And here's Jesus saying, okay, if you look at me, you see the Father, right? And then Jesus comes along and he makes some statements about the Holy Spirit that we will see tonight, that the Holy Spirit comes along and says, look to Jesus. And Jesus is pointing us to the Father. And we get into this amazing relationship with our God. We closely identify with who the Father is. We tell people oftentimes what Jesus has done, but let's not stop our understanding there. At this church, we've described the gifts of the Spirit and the operations of the Spirit. You can get a hold of the CDs about that and find out more about that. But it's very important that we know who the Holy Spirit is. The reason why is because God presently relates with us through the person of the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. God presently relates with us through the Holy Spirit, through the person of the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus, when he was on the earth, was how God was relating with us at that time. In times before Jesus, God was relating with us through the prophet and through the prophetic word and telling us about himself. God always wants relationship with us. God has been desiring relationship with us. God is passionate about relationship with us. God he will, but he doesn't want to live without a relationship with us. It's such an earnest desire on the inside of him that he could not stand the thought of us being separated from him, so he disrobed himself, broke from his side, Jesus, disrobed himself of his glory, came down on the earth, suffered and died for you and I. But now that Jesus has been raised again, Jesus says, I have a relationship. I go to the Father, and if I go to the Father, I will send you the promised Holy Spirit. What does that mean? That means that now we have this amazing relationship, this amazing invitation into intimacy with the Father through the person of the Holy Spirit. Tonight we're going to take a look at who the Holy Spirit is and what does he do in our life today. Now, we understand that God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, even though we may not be able to picture that in our mind, even though we may not be able to completely understand or completely express it, we can still identify with it because we are a three-part being. We are body, soul, and spirit. You are a spirit who has a soul, a mind, a will, and emotions that lives in a flesh body, right? So if you kill this flesh, you know that this is not you, that there is something eternal on the inside of this flesh body that you see that is going to live with God forever. And even though this body may die, or even if Jesus comes, his body will be changed and we will get a new body. In the same way, we see Father, we see Son, and we see Holy Spirit. And so tonight I ask the question, who is this Holy Spirit? Who is the person of the Holy Spirit? And what does he do in our life today? We'll tackle these two questions individually. First one, who is the Holy Spirit? Well, like we've expressed already, he is God. Just as Jesus came and Jesus is God, God in the flesh, he is all God, yet he is all man. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God relating to us. The Bible says that he is the Spirit of Christ, that he is the Spirit of revelation, he is the Spirit of power, and on and on and on and on. It's amazing the things that you can find out about God through what the expressions of his Spirit are. Why? Because God is powerful, God is mighty, God is our deliverer, God is all those things. Therefore, all of those characteristics are in the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus described the Holy Spirit who he is in a way that lets us know what he does. John chapter 14. Turn there, John chapter number 14. We're going to take a look at verse number 16 and verse number 17. John chapter 14, verse number 16 and verse number 17, Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he's telling them what's going to happen, telling them he's going to go to the cross, telling them that, listen, guys, don't be sad. Don't worry about it. Because if I go to the Father, then I will send the Holy Spirit. And look at what he says. Verse number 16 of John chapter 14, he says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Now stop right there. Let's read that again. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Everybody say another helper. Say it again, another helper. When Jesus says the word another, he means in the same likeness. So Jesus says, I'm going to give you another. I'm going to give you a copy. I'm going to give you something that comes alongside of you and aids you and helps you and lifts you up and encourages you. See, when Jesus was on the earth, what did he do? The Bible says he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Jesus came and he gave comfort. Jesus came, what did he do? He proclaimed liberty to those who were bound. He freed the captives. He loosed bonds. What did he do? He healed the sick. He cleansed the leper. He came to those that were disturbed and demon-possessed, and he freed them, and he went out doing good, the Bible says. He touched people. He got involved in people's lives. He came alongside and he lifted up. He encouraged. He helped. I mean, Jesus was out there getting the children and loving on children and going after the weak and the people who were outcast of society and encouraging and loving. Man, Jesus was confronting things. Jesus was involved in life. And just as Jesus came and dwelt among us, now he says, I will give you, look at the verse again, another helper, or someone in the same likeness, the same manner as myself, that he may abide with you forever. Now, Jesus came to the earth for a period of time, and then he ascended into heaven. But he says this Holy Spirit will come, and he will abide, or he will live, he will stay, he will dwell among you forever. See, the Holy Spirit, now that he's been released on the earth, he's not going like Jesus did. Jesus had a specific assignment. Jesus here was here for a period of time, but Jesus said, it's good for me to go to my Father. Why? Because I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and now there won't just be one me on the earth. Now the Holy Spirit will be all over the earth. Now take a look at this, verse number 17. Look at this. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. Look at this. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Now that's good news. I don't know about you, but when I read those words, I get excited. Why? Because Jesus dwelt among us. There was one Jesus on the earth when Jesus came, but now he says, you know the Holy Spirit. World doesn't know him, world can't receive him, but you can. Why? Because he dwells with you, and that's always good to have somebody with you. But look at what he goes a step further and says, and will be in you. That means that every person in the body of Christ, when we are born again, we receive the Holy Spirit to live on the inside of us. He's not only with us as Jesus was, he's not only our comforter as Jesus was, but now he's in us. That means that each and every person in the body of Christ now is wall to wall, Holy Spirit, top to bottom, left to right, front to back. We got the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. So now there's not just one Jesus on the earth, but there's a whole mess of Christians running around with the entire Holy Spirit on the inside of us. That's why Jesus said, greater works you will do than what I've done. Why? Because there was one Jesus, but now there's a whole bunch of us. There's a ton of Christians on the earth running around doing the works of Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit. He is with you and will be in you. So the Spirit is the personal expression of God on the earth today, who just like Christ will come alongside us and help us. You don't have to do life alone. Never have to be alone again. But I tell you, I got this little three-year-old son, and he is just a mighty man of God. He's growing up. He's huge. I think we're slipping him extra food or growth hormones or something. I don't know what we're doing to this boy, but he's massive, right? 3 years old, he looks like he's five. He actually runs around and plays ball and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, anytime there's not someone with him, he freaks out. And I'm always telling him, hey, son, listen, Jesus is with you. Even if mommy and daddy aren't there, Jesus is with you. Now, so far that hasn't been too much of a comfort to him, but you know what? Eventually he's going to get it. But I notice in my own personal life, anytime I start to wonder, anytime I start to fear, anytime I start to doubt, or that spirit of heaviness just tries to come on me, and I may be there alone, I may be there, driving, or maybe I'm working here or something like that, or, you know, studying, and I'm all alone, and there's just that loneliness or just that absence. You know, sometimes when I'm walking through this sanctuary, I'm cutting across, and I come into this place, and all the lights are out, man, and you look around, and you can almost kind of, hello, low, 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 low. You know, and that fear almost can kind of sink on you. Why? Because you're alone. But then you realize that there is someone with you. Listen, some of you guys may be going home tonight all by yourself, going into Muskoy, to San Bernardino, going to Highland or some of the surrounding areas, and you might be wondering what's going to happen to you tonight. Listen, you don't ever have to be afraid. You don't ever have to fear. You don't have to worry. You don't have to doubt. You don't have to fret. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is with you, but he's also in you. It's God's personal expression in your life today. So now that we know who he is, what does the Spirit do in our life? We already saw that the Spirit is our helper, and that's a very broad term. So in what way does the Spirit help us? See, it's one thing to say he's our helper. Oh, okay, great. But what does that mean? How does the Holy Spirit help us? See, there are a lot of different ways you could help someone. So what does specifically the Holy Spirit do in our lives? Four things we're going to take a look at tonight from the Word of God, okay? What does the Spirit do in our life? Number one is teach us all things. The Holy Spirit comes and he teaches us all things. You're there in John chapter 14. Drop down to verse number 26 and take a look at this. Jesus is still speaking, and he's talking about the Holy Spirit, and he identifies him as the helper. John chapter 14, number 26 says these words. It says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, look at this, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Now, we'll take a look at that second thing in a moment. But the first thing that he said is that he will teach you all things. Now, we can read, we can hear the Word of God and not understand any part of it. I know the very first time that I gave my heart to the Lord, I was 15 years old, and I was in a church at the time. It was a denominational church, and the pastor of that church encouraged everyone in the church to read through the Bible in a year. Okay, he said, if you just read 3 chapters a day and 5 on Sundays, you're going to read through the Bible in a whole year. So many of us in that congregation took up that call to read through the Word in 1 year. I had just given my heart to the Lord, and I said, listen, if I'm committed to this, then I need to know what this book says. I need to read the Bible. And so I committed myself and started reading through the Bible, you know, 3 chapters a day, 5 on Sundays. And I found myself devouring the Word. Man, I'd be burning through chapters. I'd be reading. I'd be going through stuff. If there was a book in the Old Testament, maybe one of the smaller books of the Old Testament, the Minor Prophets, I'd read through that. And if it was 4 or 5 chapters, I'd just go ahead and read it all, you know. So I got through the Bible in 8 months. And I was amazed that I got through the Bible in 8 months. And I read through that last part of Revelation, you know, and I read, amen. And I closed the Bible. And I remember I set the Bible down in my living room and I looked at it. And I thought, what on earth did I just finish? I don't know that I comprehended any of that. And so I went through it again, and I went through it again, and I realized going through it that without God, without a teacher, without the understanding and the revelation of the Holy Spirit, I wasn't going to get any of it. I was shocked when I started coming to this church and started getting and hearing from the pulpit the word from our pastors. And I thought, man, this stuff is rich. This is deep. I got to get a hold of this teaching. I got to get a hold of the word that's going on here at The Rock, and started attending. And I remember I was talking to Pastor Jim one time. I started asking him about his Bible study. I was waiting for him to say, yeah, I read 3 chapters a day and 5 on Sundays, and I burn through the Bible in a year, you know. And he said, yeah, I read about 1 verse. And it takes me about a week to go through that verse. And I started thinking, oh my goodness. So I started doing that, started going slow, started chewing on it, started taking my time in it, started getting a hold of it and praying before I read and asking the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, come and be my guide. Holy Spirit, come and be my teacher. Come and show me what it is your word has to say. See, oftentimes when people try and read the Bible, they try and tackle a chapter. Well, you know, I got to get a chapter, or I got to get a paragraph, or I got to get, listen, just get one little bite. One little verse, get a hold of something. And if you don't understand that something, start talking and say, Holy Spirit, your job description is to be my teacher. Please teach me what it is that your word has to say. Apply your heart to understanding. The Bible says when Daniel, in the Old Testament prophet applied his heart to understand that the very moment he started to pray, that God had already sent an answer for him. You and I, when we start to read the Word and when we start to apply our heart to understanding, the Holy Spirit is with us and He is in us and He will teach us. He is the revealer of the Word. Keep your finger there in the book of John and turn with me to the 1 John. 1 John chapter number 2. We were there this morning in the little John, 1 John chapter number 2. Verse number 27. Now, oftentimes you hear of the Holy Spirit referred to as the anointing because the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church. He anointed Jesus Christ. So he was poured out like oil upon the head of Jesus Christ and anointed him or painted on him so that Jesus could do the work, would be empowered for the ministry. Now, remember, we have the Holy Spirit with us and in us. So take a look at 1 John chapter 2, verse number 27. It says, but the anointing, speaking of the Holy Spirit, look at this, which you have received from him abides in you. So the anointing you've received, the Holy Spirit of God that you've received from him lives, stays, and dwells, abides in you. Look at this. And you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. You see, when you don't understand the Word, when you don't understand what's going on, when maybe you're confused, when life is coming down and you're grasping for something from God, just speak to the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, open the eyes of my understanding. Give me the wisdom that I need. Show me what it is that you would have me to see. Teach me in this area. I love how when Paul's writing to Timothy, this young pastor, here he is, and he's pastoring this massive congregation. He says, Timothy, I want you to apply your heart, and I want you to do these things. And Timothy, if you don't understand, just pray and ask God, and he'll make that clear to you too. You see, oftentimes we overlook the simplest things, and we say, well, I didn't understand it. I guess I'll just close it up and try again another day. Maybe like dew drops from heaven, it'll fall on me, or I'll just get it. No, ask. Talk to the person of the Holy Spirit who's with you and who's in you. Number one is that he teaches us all things. Second thing, turn back with me to the book of John chapter 14. And we had already read it in John chapter 14, verse 26, that the Holy Spirit teaches us all things. And then secondly, he reminds us of the Word. What does the Holy Spirit do? He reminds us of the Word. John chapter 14, verse 26 says these words. It says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So not only does the Holy Spirit take a moment, stop, and teach you about things when you're out there in the nitty-gritty, when the rubber meets the road, when life happens, the Holy Spirit will remind you of the things that he's taught you. Why? Because God doesn't just get something in you just to get it in you. No, God wants to get it in you so that he can get it through you. That's why I believe that the Bible calls it the fruit of the Spirit. Why? Because there are seeds that are planted in your heart that as you go through life are produced by the Spirit of God that God has placed on the inside of you. See, when you read about the kindness of our God, then when you encounter a situation of somebody being harsh or mean or cruel, that same kindness that was put in will now come out. Why? Because the Holy Spirit reminds you of the Word. Maybe you've been reading in Matthew chapter number 5, somewhere in the realm of verse 40 through verse 44. Love your enemies and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. And there you are on the job, and here comes this guy that's looking for a promotion. He'll step on anybody's head in order to get to the top, and your head happens to be the next rung on his ladder of success. And there you are, and he's persecuting you, he's spitefully using you. Finds out you're a Christian. Oh, and now all of a sudden he's got ammo in his gun, and it's time to pick on these Christians, and let's take him down, let's take him out, and let's get to the top. And there you are, and you're getting used, you're getting spitefully persecuted, he's mean, he's nasty, why has he got a chip on his shoulder, why has it got to be me? God, what's up? Can't you take him out? Can't I call down fire like Elijah did? And suddenly the Holy Spirit reminds you of Matthew chapter number 5, pray for those who persecute you. Bless those who spitefully use you. And so you start to say something and then you stop and you say, oh, Lord, bless them. Oh, God, just bless him. Lord, just bring him to repentance. Bring him to salvation. I know he's misguided. I know he's headed for hell. God, I don't want to see that for anybody. And so I pray that he repents and gets his life right with you, Lord, before he dies. See, that's what the Holy Spirit does, is he reminds us of the word. Often we need comfort. Often we find ourselves in situations that are uncomfortable, maybe even hostile. The Holy Spirit will remind us of the word. There may be a time where you're confused or you're alone, just like we were talking about before. Or maybe there's something that's going on that looks like it's insurmountable. It looks like there's something blocking your way. There's this massive mountain in front of you on the road. And yet, when the Holy Spirit comes and speaks a word of comfort, all of a sudden it doesn't matter what's in front of you. You can speak to that mountain like the word says and cast it into the sea if you have faith. But you got to have a word to have faith in. Hello? You've got to have something to stand on. And so the Holy Spirit will remind you of the word. Remember when Peter was preaching the gospel to the house of Cornelius? There he is, he's preaching to him, and all of a sudden all these people start speaking in tongues and prophesying, and he's amazed. But then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit comes and reminds him of the words of Jesus, that he would pour out his Spirit on the Gentiles and bring them in. You're there in John 14, hold your finger there. Go with me to John chapter number 2. Many times over in the Word, we find out that the Holy Spirit reminds people of the Word of God. John chapter number 2, verse number 22, John 2:22 says, "Therefore, when he," capital H, speaking of Jesus, "had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered." Look at it. When Jesus raised from the dead, what did he do? He said, "When I go to the Father, I'll send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things, and he will remind you of what I said." Look at what it says. "Therefore, when he had raised from the dead, his disciples remembered." Do you think that maybe it's because the Holy Spirit was now released on the earth, and he was reminding them of the word? "When he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said." See, that should be our testimony, that because Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, now that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, we remember the word that was spoken to us, and we believe the scriptures of Jesus Christ and the word which Jesus had said. It will bring you comfort. It will bring you encouragement. It will bring you the power of God that you need in your life for each and every situation. Third thing is, we find out in the book of John, is that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. Will guide us into all truth. Turn with me to John chapter 16 now. You were there in John chapter 14. John chapter 16, Jesus continues on with the Holy Spirit's job description. And by the way, I'm just picking out four things tonight. There's actually a ton more that Jesus speaks about and that we find out in the book of Acts that the Holy Spirit does in our life. These are just four things that I believe are practical. I believe are relational. I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to use these things in your life. And so there's a ton more that you can read in John chapter 14, 15, and 16 and find out about more about what the Holy Spirit does. But these are just some things for you tonight. Third thing is, guide us into all truth. John chapter 16, verse number 13. "However, when he," capital H, "the Spirit of truth has come," we're talking about the Holy Spirit once again, "look at this, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." So the third thing we find out is that he will guide us into all truth. What does that mean? That means that without the Holy Spirit, we have no direction. We've got basically our own ideas, our own thoughts. Maybe you'll have what your neighbor says. Maybe you'll have what society says. Maybe you'll watch TV or pick up a magazine there at Stater Brothers as you're walking through. Pick one up off the rack and find some direction there. Oh yeah, they'll tell you. They'll tell you everything that you need to do. They'll tell you all about your life, how you're supposed to live, what you're supposed to eat, what you're supposed to drink, what you're supposed to wear, the kind of car you're supposed to drive, all that stuff. The world has a plan for your life. The devil has a plan for your life. Oh, the devil wants to rake you through the coals. He wants you to live a miserable existence on the earth, and then he wants to send you to hell with him. Why? Because misery loves company. And so he's trying to take as many people with him as he can. But listen, the Holy Spirit has a plan for your life. And the Holy Spirit will guide you through your life. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, that God knows the plans that he has for us, plans for good and not for evil, plans to give us a future and a hope. Some of you in this room tonight may feel hopeless. You may feel directionless. You may feel lost. But listen, if you tap into the relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit, you don't have to feel that way. He is your guide. What does that mean? That means that he's walking right ahead of you. Remember, he's with you. He's in you. And so there he is speaking to you. He's telling you, this is, okay, no, don't turn left. Turn right over here. Come on, keep going. Four more steps and you're almost there. You're going to get there. Okay, now when you get there, you're going to find this thing. You're going to do that. And the Holy Spirit will guide you. He will show you. You will know the way in which you should go. The Bible tells us that God is intimately involved in our lives. That God is continuously watching over us, and he has thoughts that cannot be numbered, like the sand on the seashore. And when I get that picture, I don't just think about one seashore, you know, like going down to Newport or Huntington Beach or one of those beaches that are nearby. No, I think about the entire coastline of all the continents on the entire planet. Because when God says the seashore, he doesn't define which one, so therefore it must be all of them, right? And so God thinks so many thoughts about you that they can't even be numbered like the sand on the seashore. See, God is intimately involved in each and every part of our life. And God is the one who tells the end from the beginning. The Bible says, known to God from the beginning are all of his works. And so God knows the outcome of our lives. God knows the direction that we're going. And God knows when we're in trouble. God knows what's going on. God knows the bend in the road. God knows what's ahead. God knows what's around the corner. And therefore, if you have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, he will guide you. He will guide you in all truth. I think about the Apostle Paul, when he was trying to do things, and he was trying to go places, he was trying to minister. He says, you know, we tried to minister in Asia, but we were blocked by the Holy Spirit. And then in the middle of the night, I had a dream, and there was a man from Macedonia saying, come on over here, get on down here. And so we decided we were going to go over there. Now, I find it interesting that when he went there, he found women that were there and started to have a ministry there with the women there by the river. And where was the man? Well, I believe that the Holy Spirit was just using that image to bring him over. See why? Because he was guiding. He was directing. He was giving that vision. There in the church at Antioch, you know, they were talking about they had apostles, they had prophets, they had the people that were there, and they were gathered together, and they were praying and fasting before the Lord. And then the Holy Spirit said, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work that I have called them to. What is going on? The Holy Spirit is giving guidance and giving direction. See, if you don't know what to do in life, if you don't know the direction that you should have, because sometimes there's just things that you can't find in the Word. You know, you're not going to read, Susie is supposed to marry Michael, and they're going to live happily ever after in Redlands, California, and work in the children's ministry. There are some things that you're not going to find, just plain, flat out, spelled out in the Word of God. So what do you have to do? You have to have a relationship with God. You have to ask. You have to find out. You have to press. You have to pray. You have to desire. You have to seek. You have to knock on some doors. Now, sometimes doors will get closed and those don't feel as good as the open doors, but listen, they're just as important. Why? Because if you go through that door and it's the wrong one, you're going to be messing around doing the wrong thing, and it'll take you more time to get to the place where God wants you to go. So follow God's direction for your life. Hold your finger there in John chapter 16. We'll come back there. Turn me to the book of Isaiah. The great scripture in Isaiah chapter 30. And in Isaiah chapter 30, we're going to take a look at verse number 21. Isaiah chapter 30, verse number 21 says, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. See, sometimes we don't understand how God speaks. Prophet Elijah was up there on the mountain waiting for God, and there was this big blast of wind and then breaking open rocks. There was an earthquake that shook the ground. There was fire that broke out. And yet, you know, if it was me, I'd have been like, man, God is really angry and he must be talking and I just can't hear or something, you know. But the Bible says that all of a sudden there was a still small voice. And at that moment, Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it around his face and went out to listen for the voice of the Lord. See, God is not interested in shouting at us, even though sometimes it feels like God is shouting at us. Sometimes it may feel like when God speaks a word to you, like you turn around like, whoa, was that God? Man, that was like an audible voice. Sometimes we have those experiences in life. But most of the time I found that God has just a little whisper, a little gentle nudge, a little, this is the way. Walk in it. This is the direction. And you have to listen up. You have to tune into God. You have to tune out all the other things of the world. Turn off the TV, turn off the cell phone, get alone, get quiet before God, get his word in your lap and pray and get yourself in a posture where you can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And as you do, look at the verse once again in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. See, God, the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, as you have a relationship with him, will guide you. He will give you direction. He will show you the way to go. It may not always look like conventional wisdom or practical things that you should do. Sometimes it might seem a little weird. Sometimes God might guide you in a way you kind of wonder, God, what's going on here? But as you learn to trust and as you learn to experience and know the voice of God, you'll be able to walk in the way that he has you to go, and you will see the outcome. And let me tell you, when you get God's outcome, it's always a good outcome. Can you say amen? Final thing tonight, what does the Holy Spirit do? Is that he tells us things to come. John chapter 16, turn back there with me to John chapter 16. Take a look at verse number 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. Look at this. And he will tell you things to come. Yeah. Say, Pastor Dan, is God going to tell me the future? Oh yeah, he will. God's the one that declares the end from the beginning. God knows what's going to happen. God is the one who sees the scope of eternity. God knows what's going to take place, and therefore God will tell you things to come. God sometimes will show you great things ahead. This is what's going to take place if you remain faithful. This is the outcome of that. And keep going, child. Endure. It may not look like it's going that great right now, but keep plowing. Keep planting. And you're going to see a harvest up ahead. Sometimes God will show you pitfalls. Sometimes God will give you warnings. There's often been times where I've been warned by the Holy Spirit, don't go to this place, take a different route home. And I'll be like, that's kind of weird. What do you mean? That's longer, you know? No, take a different way home. Later on, you find out, man, somebody had an accident. Something took place. Something went down. You know, one time I remember I was driving, I just saw all these lights behind me, you know, fire engine lights and blue lights, red lights, all that. And I said, thank God that I listened to the voice of the Holy Spirit because I could have been in that mess right there. You know, see, God will show you things to come. Sometimes you might have something that's on your heart and you might be going into a situation, you need to have a serious talk with somebody, something's going to take place, and the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. Like if you open your mouth and you put your foot in it, it's not going to be good. So be kind, be gentle, be respectful, and you're going to have a better outcome. See, the Holy Spirit wants to show you things to come. Holy Spirit wants to not only just guide you and tell you this is the way, that's the way, he's going to show you what's up ahead. Bible says your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. What does that mean? That means that he not only shows you what's going on right here, but he'll give you a picture of what's up ahead so that you don't trip and fall. Amen. He will show you things to come. Paul was headed to Jerusalem in the book of Acts. You might remember the story. He was unsure of what awaited him there. He didn't know what was going to take place. Didn't know what was going to go down. Didn't know what was going to go on. There were people telling him all sorts of stuff, people prophesying all sorts of stuff. But Acts chapter 20, verse number 23, he said, I don't know what's going to await me there. He says, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. Now, I believe that the Holy Spirit was testifying these things to Paul so that Paul could get himself ready. See, sometimes when we know that there's stuff up ahead that we don't like, if we know that we're going to go through it, and we know that it's going to have the God outcome on the other side, then we will endure. The Bible says that we have need of endurance. God wants us to be a stick-to-itive Christian. God wants us to be a Christian that can bear down and hold up that weight of pressure. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's on the inside of us. Why? Because we need to stick in there with God and do what God has called us to do unreservedly, unwaveringly. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will lead us through those things and take us to the outcomes that he has. It's not always nice. In Paul's case, it was chains and tribulations. Man, there were people fasting, no food, no water, until they had killed Paul. Can you imagine? I mean, I never had somebody wanting to kill me like that. Never had someone, I don't think, wanting to kill me. Let alone a group of people fasting until I was dead. And yet, he was able to stand up under that pressure because he knew that God was guiding him in that direction. Paul even had a guy that took his belt off and bound himself with it and said, "So shall the owner of this belt be bound in Jerusalem." I mean, if that doesn't tell you something, I mean, man, hello. What's going on, God? And yet, the Holy Spirit testified. The Holy Spirit showed him something that was to come, and Paul got ready. I like how the Bible says, gird yourself. What does that mean? Get yourself prepared. Pack it all in. You know, you ever seen somebody that's about ready to lift an immense amount of weight? They've got this big, thick leather belt that goes on around them, and they gird themselves with that belt. What are they doing? They're preparing because they know what's ahead. In the same way as Christians, there are things that we're going to have to endure. There are things that we're going to go through. There's things that are up ahead in our life. Sometimes they're troublesome. Sometimes they're beautiful and wonderful. Sometimes God shows you a picture of what's up ahead and you almost can't wait to get there. But we've got to prepare ourselves and walk the road that God's laid out for us so that we can get to the outcome of God. Now, I want you to notice something about each of these four things tonight. Let's go over them real quick. Number one is that he will teach us all things. Number two, he will remind us of the word. Number three, he will guide us into all truth. And number four, he will tell us things to come. Notice something about all four of these for a moment with me. Notice that each of the operations that we've looked at tonight of the Holy Spirit is something personal, something relational. Remember, we started this talking about the person of the Holy Spirit who is with us and who is in us. And this person, God wants to have a personal relationship with you through the Holy Spirit. Think about it. Teach. Anybody who's taught you something, you've had a personal relationship. They have taught you something. You've interacted with them. You've listened to them. To remind. This is somebody who knows you well enough to tell you, I know you already know this, so I'm going to remind you of this. See, there's relationship there. Guide. When you have somebody guiding you, there's a trust. There's a faith that's there. There's something that you can know that you can lean on that person and that they know the way that they're going. And finally, tell you things to come. These are people who you understand and trust and know and love. And therefore, the Holy Spirit is a personal expression of God with us and God in us. Be watching. Be listening, church, and have an intimate personal relationship with our God through the person of the Holy Spirit. Allow him to do these things in your life. Did you get something from the Word of God tonight? Amen.